If any of you have ever been to a graveside service, they probably have, a lot of you have been to them. They're not as long as a memorial. We usually don't have a sharing time. We do participate in different ways, but we don't usually have a sharing time. We were celebrating Sandy's life back at the memorial. And this is like a farewell goodbye. This is more about the mourning process and the grieving process. And when we have that kind of thing, we usually love ritual because it just walks us through it. We don't have to think we don't have to do too much. And because we are saying goodbye. Well, as I was walking over here, I was looking at all these names, and some of them are in metal and some of them are etched into stone. And I'd like to read the theme of this little devotional. And it's short, only on one verse of the Bible. The intent of tombstones are fulfilled only by heavenly memorials. We have an intention for tombstones, but they are fulfilled by heavenly memorials. And they say, what do you mean? Well, we write names and dates and maybe a little tiny epitaph on these stones, or we put them into metal so that they will last. But that idea came from God in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17 is the verse I'm going to read. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. Interesting. And I have two thoughts about this verse. And the first one is, the grave is not the final resting place. It's not just the final resting place. And that's what it looks like. A final resting place, but what it really is, it's a departure point. It's a farewell place. And cemeteries are like airports or like train stations. It's like we go there, and those to whom we are bidding farewell, we may not see them again. If they're going on a one-way journey, we may not see them again. They've maybe taken a final one-way trip. It's the last time we'll see them. Well, that's why this is a farewell place. And graves end our common walk together, our common journey. We've been having a sojourn here on the earth. And graves are like a place where we come to that departure point, that end point. And we bid farewell. But how do we know they are faring well on the travel, the journey that they've taken? How do we know that? Well, in verse 17 it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. The story of how well we overcame in our lives, how well we held on to our faith, is the basis of dining well in heaven on the hidden manna. And I know that Sandy, in her case, she's feasting. She's feasting up there right now. Well, second thought in this verse 2:17 in Revelation is this. We write names for a time, and God writes new ones forever. You know, it's like saying, you know, sometimes we look at our lives, we look at the new year, and it's like an hourglass, and it's turned over, it's going out. Well, also we take that illustration or that metaphor of the hourglass, it's like our time is like sand going through the hourglass, and eventually it runs out. But take that sand and think about where it came from. It came from rocks. Rocks, stones that were as permanent, it looks like, as the stones that we put as memorials. And yet, now they're sand. They go away. They're temporary. And we make these temporary memorials. We want them to last. We want these memorials to last, and yet they're only temporary. They eventually will go. Sometimes I've visited graveyards, and just I'd love to go through them and read everything, and sometimes you can't read anything on the stone. It's all worn away. And it could be the density of the stone or whatever, but it's all worn away. And God is not going to do that. He's going to have a permanent remember. His plan is permanent. And in verse 17 it says this, I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it. Only that person knows it who receives it. Now you say, why is there such privacy? Here we are in heaven, and we got this white stone that's been given to us, and it's got a name on it that no one knows except the person it's given to by the Lord. You start thinking about it a little bit. And that's each person. That's each individual. It's because each person has to have that personal relationship with Jesus. It must be personal. And if you're ever in a really close relationship with someone, spouse, a really good friend, sometimes you have little intimate names you give to each other. And it's like something you just know together, and you just give that name. My wife, you might have heard this, Sherry Fom. Sherry Fom, you want to say? Sherry Fom, dear woman, dear wife. Well, that's what I call her all the time, Sherry Fom. But it's one of those personal names, a friendship name. And that really shows how close our relationship is with Jesus. A lot of people say, He would have died on the cross if it was for only you. Well, that's how it looks like when you have a relationship with Him. It's just like it's with you. But it's with everybody. And it's like, that's so cool that God gives us this. Well, the intent of tombstones are fulfilled only by heavenly memorials. And this verse, I'll read it again. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, only known to him who receives it. Ann Bradstreet was an early American poet. Before we'd become a country, she was here. She wrote a poem. And in this poem, this is not the whole poem, but she recognizes and talks about this verse in the Bible. In her poem, and the name of it is Contemplation. And I'm just going to read this portion of it. O time, the fatal rack of mortal things, that draws oblivious curtains over kings. Their sumptuous monuments, men know them not. Their names without a record are forgot. Their parts, their ports, their pomps, all laid in the dust. Nor wit nor gold, nor buildings escape time's rust. But he whose name is graved in the white stone shall last and shine when all of these are gone. Isn't that a cool, cool poem? Oh, I love it. Well, those are promising words for us, but they must be claimed by faith. You have to hold on to that, what it's talking about in this verse, because you believe it. You hold on to it by faith. It's true. But you must claim it by faith. And Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. And Sandy chose to do that. And now she has followed him to heaven. You think about that. She has followed him all the way to heaven. And as we leave this graveside and return to the hustle and bustle of life, let's also do that. Follow him on a daily basis. Follow the risen Christ who said, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I'm going to read a scripture before we have our committal. The committal is that solemn time that we come to where we really have to say a last goodbye. And I'm not doing too well on this, Matt. Listen to this. These are words of hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 58. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So we are bidden by this passage as we leave from here to live, to work. Our work, it says, is not in vain. We are bid to continue on in our labor, not discouraged by death, and not discouraged that we're all facing our own at some point, but just to focus on the work for the Lord, for it is not in vain. And so now it's time to make this committal. It's a solemn duty we have to commit the bodily remains of Sandy Brown to the elements from which they came. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But it's our inspiring privilege to commend her soul to God, who allowed her to share with us this earthly sojourn. And we do this with confident hope in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, with firm faith in His restoration of our physical bodies by resurrection, and with joyous expectation of eternal life with all of God's people in His everlasting kingdom. Did we have flowers to distribute? One of the rituals that we have that is very good is to pass roses out and each to say goodbye with a rose, by placing it on the coffin. After we do that, we'll try to jog our memories and do the Lord's Prayer in unison. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
You're going to let it down while we're still here, I think, part way.
If you want to, you can go ahead and have a seat or remain standing while we lower the casket before the graveside service ends.
And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen.